This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. Last time we were together, we were studying two of the names of Jehovah that appear to be used together in many of the passages that we were studying, especially in those that speak of Jehovah's relationship with his chosen people, Israel. I want us to read some of these passages again to keep us in context for our session today. The first one I want to read is found in Ezekiel, chapter 8, verses 3 through 6. "He stretched out the form of a hand and caught me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the idol of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy, was located. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the appearance which I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, raise your eyes toward the north.' So I raised my eyes toward the north, and behold, to the north of the altar gate was this idol of jealousy at the entrance. And he said to me, 'Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations which the house of Israel are committing here, so that I would be far from my sanctuary? But yet you will see still greater abominations.'" Also in Ezekiel, this time chapter 8, verses 17 through 18, he said to me, "Do you see this, son of man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they have committed here, that they have filled the land with violence and provoked me repeatedly? For behold, they are pulling the twig to their nose. Therefore I indeed will deal in wrath. My eye will have no pity, nor will I spare. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet I will not listen to them." Again in Ezekiel, this time chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, "Now the cherubim were standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord." Again in Ezekiel chapter 10, this time verse 18, "Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. When the cherubim departed, they lifted their wings and rose up from the earth in my sight with the wheels beside them. And they stood still at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them." And finally, in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 22 through 23, we read, "Then the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them. The glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood over the mountain which is east of the city." Jehovah's glory then continued its departure. The glory of the Lord went up from within the city and stopped above the mountain east of it. As Jehovah's glory left Jerusalem, it passed over the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. This departure signaled Jerusalem's doom. The city would be devoid of his blessing till the glory would return via the Mount of Olives. It is no coincidence that Messiah ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, as we read in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and promised to return to that very same place. We can find this in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Ezekiel's vision was ended, and he was transported by the Spirit back to the exiles in Babylonia. And as the vision went up from him, he told the exiles everything the Lord had shown him. We could sense the Lord's reluctance to leave his temple, his city where he had set his name. Do you see him lingering, longingly waiting for her cry of repentance? We saw in these verses that he indeed is our Jehovah Kana, our Lord whose name is jealous. He will not have any other gods before him. Although Jehovah had left Yerushalayim, he had to come back. He is Jehovah, a covenant-keeping God. Even as Jehovah prepared to leave Yerushalayim in Ezekiel 11, verses 22 through 24, Ezekiel fell on his face and cried, "Alas, Lord God, wilt thou bring the remnant of Israel to a complete end?" As we read in Ezekiel 11:13, to which Jehovah responded in verses 16 through 19, "Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, though I had removed them far away among the nations, and though I had scattered them among the countries, yet I was a sanctuary for them a little while in the countries where they had gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. When they come there, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it, and I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." Now we can understand how much it meant to Jehovah's people when he said in Ezekiel chapter 48, verses 35, "The city will be 18,000 cubits round about, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There." Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Are we expecting him? Are we ready? The hope, the promise of his return was Israel's. However, it would be approximately 600 years before the Lord would come to his temple. And when that happened, it would not be the complete fulfillment of Ezekiel 48:35, which the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There. Jehovah Shammah. After 70 years of captivity, a remnant would return to Yerushalayim. Under Ezra and Zerubbabel, they would rebuild the temple. Under Nehemiah, they would rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. Yet, they would weep because the second temple could not compare with the glory of Shlomo's, Solomon's, temple. Neither could this rebuilt Yerushalayim equal Yerushalayim in her former days. Sin costs. It always does. Yes, there is forgiveness with Jehovah, as we read in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail." However, sin does have its own harvest. The Lord did not return to dwell in his Shekinah glory in his temple at Yerushalayim. The word dwell in the original Hebrew language is the root word from which we get Shekinah, and this signifies the dwelling presence of the Lord on earth. But he confirmed by his Zechariah, a post-exile prophet. Now we can read this in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. "Sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. Then I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. The Lord will possess Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation." Jehovah also spoke again through Malachi in chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, said the Lord of hosts." Malachi was the last of the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, prophets. They would not hear another word from Jehovah for 400 years. During that time, the children of Israel had two things to cling to. We can read this in Psalms 138, verse 2. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. These two things are also seen in Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 25 through 29. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. They will forget their disgrace and all their treacheries which they perpetuated against me, when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of the many nations. Then they will know that I am their Lord and their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations, and then I gathered them again to their own land. And I will leave none of them there any longer. I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. Because Jehovah was jealous for his holy name, because his word stands above his name, he would return in his glory to Jerusalem. And he did. But most of Israel did not believe it was he. He came to his own, but his own received him not, as we read in John chapter 1, verse 11. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is taken from John chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 14. The Greek word that is used here is dwelt, literally means tabernacled. Yeshua, the mighty God, eternal Father, Prince of Peace, as we read in Yeshayahu or Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, came to Jerusalem. Simon recognized him when he was brought in as an infant to be presented to the Lord, as we read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. I want to read the account of what occurred. And again, we can find this in Luke chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Scriptures tell us that he came again to the temple when he was 12. Although the Jews were impressed, they didn't realize they were listening to Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there, as he began his ministry among them. We see this according to Luke chapter 3, verse 23. They saw his miracles and they heard his words, but didn't believe. Instead of believing he was Jehovah, the I am of the word, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Yeshua hid himself and went out of the temple. We can read this in John 8, verse 59. They refused to submit to Adonai. They could not see that it was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, who stood before them in the temple, there on Mount Moriah, in the very place where Abraham had offered a ram instead of Yitzhak, stood the Lamb of Jehovah, Jehovah's provision for their sins. But they were stubborn and blind. They stopped up their ears and closed their eyes, as we read in Matthew or Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. They refused to follow Jehovah Ra, the shepherd that would give them life. In John 6, verses 66, we read, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They would not rally around Jehovah Nissi, the Lord their banner, as we read in Romans chapter 10, verses 3 through 4. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ, Yehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. But they refuse to believe. When the Jews plotted to take his life and arrest Yeshua in the Garden of Gethsemane, they never dreamed they were laying their hands on Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts of the armies of heaven, who could have at his disposal more than 12 legions of angels. We read this according to Matthew or Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. They crucified Jehovah Tzidkenu, the blood and water poured forth. They didn't know the balm of Gilead, the blood of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Nor could they believe by one offering he was perfected for all time those who were sanctified, according to Hebrews 10, verse 14. Those who wanted to be holy didn't see that it was Jehovah Mekudishakim, the Lord who sanctifies you, that hung on that cross for their sanctification. Thus, they missed peace with Jehovah through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua our Messiah. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken in our lives. Yet, Yeshua had done what he had said he would do in John 17, verse 26. And I have made known your name to them. I will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. He was in Palestine for 33 years, going in and out of the temple. Then one day, the glory of the Lord again departed from the temple. We read this in Matthew 23, verses 37 through 24, verse 1. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. Yeshua went to be with the Father, but he did not leave us comfortless. Even now he is Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there, to those who have believed on his name, for he now dwells within us. We read this promise in John chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. If you have believed on the name of the Lord, Yeshua, our Messiah, do you not know that you are a temple of Jehovah, and that the Spirit of Jehovah, the Ruach HaKodesh, dwells in you? This is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And his promise to us can also be found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Well, how then are we to live? We are to live in the expectancy of his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Yeshua, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Jehovah promised he would return to Yerushalayim, and that the name of Yerushalayim would be Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. When he returns, his word through Ezekiel to his people Israel will be fulfilled. Let me read that. It's in Ezekiel 27, verses 21 through 28. And it tells us, Say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations, and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols, or with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. And they will walk in my ordinances, and keep my statutes, and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and I will be their sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. But, O beloved Talmidim of Yeshua, before all that, or with all that, he must fulfill his word to us, the body of believers, the church as found in John 14, verses 2 through 4. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. That is where I want to be, where he is, my Yehovah Shema, where my Yehovah is there. In the Revelation of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5, we can read, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Maranatha, remember when I asked you when we first began our study of the names of Yehovah to describe Yehovah? Well, beloved of Adonai, I want to ask you as we complete our study that you take time to write out a description of Yehovah using what we've learned from our time together. When you complete this, compare it with the one you wrote on our first session. Has he taught you or shown you more about himself? Have you been blessed by your study of the Word and of Yehovah? If you would like to retain what you've learned, you may want to rehearse Yehovah's names over and over again as you pray. Use his names when you enter into his courts, when you need that specific characteristic of Yehovah, so that you may do as Proverbs 18, verse 10 tells us, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runs into it and is safe. For your convenience and for your use in the above, I've posted a list of Yehovah's names and their meanings on my website, www.sectim.org. This is a free download, as are other free downloads that are helpful to assist you in your quest for knowing and understanding the Word through your own study of His Word. Join us for our next airing, where we will begin a new topic of study. Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, That's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.